All right, and welcome to the Oat Health Heart Health Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and joined this morning by Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us for episode number 6, June 18, 2009. Just a reminder, for all the show notes, support material, links to any of the websites we mentioned today, please visit oathealth.com/blog/podcast. Today's episode, we'll actually discuss how to take action to improve your health and how it's as simple as beginning to think about your food decisions. Until now, we actually have been looking at the underlying issues to how to approach disease and diets. We've discussed food processing, but now we want to look further at what role we actually play, that you actually play, in your own health and how to begin to bring awareness to the negative choices that we make each day. So I'm also excited for Joe to present the weekly health challenge. Da-da-da-da. And we don't have a name for it yet, so we're going to actually be holding a contest to see. But the long and short of it is we're going to be challenging you to pay attention to just one new thing per week. And we're so confident that you can change your health taking one small step at a time that we're actually going to take the challenge ourselves. Not only that, we're going to put it all on the line and come back each week after taking the challenge and report how we did. We'll admit our failures and successes, the deepest, darkest secrets, right? So jumping into what we have for you for the news today, there's an article on Medline Plus website called Cornflakes, White Bread, and White Bread could boost heart risk. So basically, Joe, it's a study that shows how high glycemic carbs hamper blood vessel function.
Yeah, so it's kind of complicated in how it works out. But yeah, there seems to be some tie here between what would be highly processed forms of grains. High glycemic, we'll get into that, and what effects it has on the heart health.
Great. So then in the research section, we'll actually pull up a JAMA article, Journal of American Medical Association, in their archives. This was from a while ago, 1999, but the long-term intake of dietary fiber and decreased risk of coronary heart disease among women. So I guess what we're talking about here is that there's a lot of studies about what dietary fiber can do for men, but not as much about women.
Well, yeah, so now we've had some research since this time, but I thought this was a good time to kind of look back. We'll start flashing back. It's not always there's tons of research coming out today, so
right.
We'll be flashing back. And this one seemed like a good one today just because we'll be talking about glycemic index. Fiber plays a role there, and it also obviously has a role in heart health. We're going to take a look at that today.
Great. So let's get started with today's podcast. All right, and let's jump into it today and get right down to the news that we found. And again, just a reminder, this was the article is entitled "Cornflakes, White Bread Could Boost Heart Risk" from Medline. Is that where you found this, Joe?
Yeah, and it's Health Day put this one out. And essentially what they're looking at is the effects of high glycemic index foods on blood vessel function. And so two things I said there. One is blood vessel function. You know, what does that mean? You know, your blood vessel function definitely is related to heart disease. And specifically, most heart disease, we're talking about the blood vessels that carry blood to the heart. So any modification in blood vessel function or any decrease in blood pressure function,
right,
blood vessel function, will definitely have a negative effect on heart health. And then high glycemic, that's something that we may have talked about before in podcasts, and you may have heard around the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
High glycemic food really just is high glycemic index talks to how food influences how quickly something turns into blood sugar. And so those relate to a lot of different issues that go on in the body. And there is a tie between, you know, blood sugar and how and issues of our heart health as well. And so you have two things here looking at what's the correlation between them. And so I think the easiest way to look at something like glycemic index is you think of like broccoli. Broccoli really won't have an increase in your blood sugar. And so that's really low in glycemic index, where like table sugar will actually have a high effect on blood sugar. So that's high in glycemic index. And so in the study, the high glycemic foods were shown to impair function of cells that line the arteries.
Mm-hmm.
And poor cell function is thought to increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. So from this study, there seems to be a tie between those high glycemic foods. You know, cornflakes is one of the examples, of white bread. Some of these things that are a little more processed maybe or obviously like sugar. So refined carbohydrates are usually higher in glycemic index. Any type of sugars, those type of things are usually higher in glycemic index. And so, you know, high glycemic index foods can, and not only in this case, so we see a tie between this blood vessel function, which is definitely a risk factor for heart disease, and they show a correlation there. But high glycemic index also, you know, affects insulin release, which can have effects on hunger and energy levels and fat storage. So, you know, high glycemic index foods, there's some information that says it might not be as good for blood sugar balance and some of those issues. The research is here or there, but this is some new research on blood vessel function. It's kind of interesting. It's new. You know, it still needs some follow-up. But at the end of the day, it's really just interesting enough to kind of highlight and show just another way that maybe these foods are influencing our health.
Yeah, and my takeaway from this was, you know, you really have to be conscious of not just the saturated fats that we're getting, but also the sugars we're getting. It sort of makes it sound like it puts a lot of strain on our body to process the extra sugars, and that can have long-term effects.
Yeah, and it's how quickly our body processes those sugars. And so when you have this high release of blood sugar, your body secretes insulin in response,
right?
And that insulin can have all these other effects as well if you get too much of it. And you see, like, progressively, as we refine more, especially in the grains, we see this in the grains, as you refine grain more, progressively, it gets higher in glycemic index. So a good example of that is actually oatmeal or oats. Oats, if you steel cut the oats, which is less processing, it has a low glycemic index. Where if you have rolled oats, it's a little higher in glycemic index. If you have instant oats, that's even more processed. It's even higher in glycemic index. So progressively, you see the glycemic index increase as you process that grain.
Well,
more.
That's why. So just to kind of wrap up the news section, the title was about cornflakes and white bread, really talking about the high processed grains, right? That
right.
It's surprising that you know you think you're eating the right thing. We're not eating candy bars here or tables of sugar, but you know, still how it's processed can influence the glycemic index, right?
Right, yeah, and so we think of sugar affecting our blood sugar, but it's true that other things, like grains, when they're processed, can affect blood sugar as well.
Right, so without that awareness, and a lot of times we're eating healthy, what we think is healthy, and over a long period of time can have a dramatic effect. So moving on to the recent research, we want to look at this this article that's sort of an archived article, but like Joe said, it's still very, very relevant, and sometimes it makes sense to revisit these things. The article from from JAMA was entitled "Long-Term Intake of Dietary Fiber and Decreased Risk of Coronary Heart Disease Among Women."
Yeah, and so, you know, occasionally what we want to do is we want to look at some established research, especially that research that's done on larger populations.
Mm-hmm.
That's a larger study that really carries a little more weight to it.
Right.
And those studies, when we look back at those studies, they can give us a lot of insight into health and what we can do for our health to improve health. And so this study was, you know, it's the Nurses Health Study, a very large study that was done. Kind of one of those landmark type studies where there's just a lot of people involved. They did a lot of detailed information gathering. So this study particularly kind of narrows it down and takes out some different people that are involved in that and narrows it down to 68,000 women, over 68,000 women in this period of 10 years. And so what you find is we follow these women, find out what they're eating, find out what health choices they're making,
right,
and then try to extrapolate from that, you know, what happened at the end of the day. So this study specifically supported the hypothesis that higher fiber diet, particularly from cereal sources, so cereals are like grains, like oats or wheat or something like that, reduce the risk of coronary heart disease. And so we've seen this before. So we know that fiber is good for heart health. You know, we hear a lot about soluble fiber and those type of things, good for heart health. This one took a little more comprehensive of saying, okay, what's the total fiber, and then how do all these things play out? And so in this case, it actually was more specific to the grain fiber, wasn't as specific to fruit fiber or vegetable fiber for heart health. There wasn't a tie between those. And that really shows, too, in this study, they really tried to narrow down exactly what it was. And so the women in the top quarter percentile, so those that had the top quarter percent of consumption of cereal fiber, had 34% lower risk of cardiovascular coronary heart disease compared to those in the lowest quartile or the lowest quarter of fiber content in the diet. And so that's obviously a very significant number for just one nutrient, for one very specific nutrient, not even looking at, you know, fiber from other sources. This is really looking at grain sources. And so the authors, they comment about fiber and, you know, its ability to help with LDL cholesterol and reducing it because of things like bile excretion and decreased production of cholesterol in the liver. You know, some of the things we've actually talked about on the site.
Right.
And how soluble fiber works. But they also cite some other possible mechanisms and the fact that fibers can actually delay the absorption of certain what we call energy nutrients like carbs. And that plays into, you know, we talked about glycemic index in the news. That really affects how our body takes in those carbohydrates, turns them into sugars, and how quickly our blood sugar rises. And so there's been some previous studies on glycemic index and showing that really fiber seems to be the key to what the benefits you get from a low glycemic index fiber or low glycemic index food diet.
Sure. I mean, we've seen before that, you know, fiber likes to, especially soluble fiber, likes to bind to certain things. And, you know, there's been numerous studies on that front. But so basically, the women, like you said, just to recap, top 25% of the study said that they had a 34% lower risk of coronary heart disease.
If they took the most fiber, they ate the most fiber, out of, you know, the top quarter of women that were eating the most fiber, got that large of a benefit. And, you know, like, just to speak of the sugar balance and the sugar imbalance too, you know, when they had this increase in, when you have an increase in blood sugar and those type of things, you know, that increases insulin decreases insulin sensitivity. So fiber seems to, in this case, have an increase in insulin sensitivity and can also affect triglycerides, which seems to have some kind of tie, once again, to blood sugar, because diabetics, they'll be higher in triglycerides.
But so I don't want to go too far on this, but you mentioned sensitivity of insulin or not. So let's just really surface.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, too, I think. We talk about metabolic syndrome, this whole idea.
Yeah, we definitely need to get into that.
Yeah, but whole idea of insulin sensitivity or whether or not you actually respond to insulin. So insulin pushes sugars into the cells, and that gets out of the bloodstream. Too much sugar in the bloodstream is toxic to the bloodstream. If we can push it into the cells, we can get out of the bloodstream. It's less toxic at that point to our bodies, and we're actually able to utilize it.
Which is why diabetics have to be careful not get too much, because they can't deal with sugars.
So it affects your kidneys, your eyes at that point.
But we hear a lot about, you know, this is not necessarily the topic here, but I think these things are all related. And Joe, I really do want to talk about the metabolic syndrome in the future. But, you know, I hear a lot about adults getting diabetes later in life. And so we see how these are things are linked. The recent news about high glycemic foods and then also eating soluble fiber. So we're beginning to get a really well-rounded picture. And like you said, this is a large group, and it was kind of an isolated food source, right?
Well, and for women specifically, we talk about insulin sensitivity and triglycerides.
Right.
It's more specific to them because they actually, those risk factors are more important to them because they seem to be stronger risk factors for coronary heart disease for women,
among women,
than they are for men.
Okay.
Yeah, so the idea of insulin sensitivity and diabetes, you know, which generally comes later after you have insulin insensitivity, since you're not responding to insulin as well. Generally, diabetes can follow that, and then along with that, high triglycerides. And that, for women, is a much more, I guess, of a dangerous risk factor because those two things together seem to affect women more than they affect men.
So we talked about, I mean, this article, which again is really from more of the medical side, so it is kind of unusual that way. But we talked about that dietary fiber, increasing that could decrease risk. But I guess what's kind of your take, just to wrap up this section, Joe, on the takeaway?
Yeah, and so this article, in conclusion, like how they concluded their actual statement at the end of this study is, our results provide evidence that an increase in foods and high in dietary fiber, especially from cereal products, may be protective against coronary heart disease in women. And so that's important. You know, coronary heart disease, obviously the main killer for women in America. And the end, this last sentence is really kind of intriguing to today's topic. When we get to our challenge today, this provides further reason to replace refined forms of starch with whole grain products. And so I think that when we look at our day-to-day diet and how You know, especially how the foods we eat can affect how our blood sugar goes up.
Right.
And long term, maybe can affect diabetes and those type of things, and which can also affect heart disease. It's once again, it's a daily choice, and sometimes not that big a difference between, especially with the awareness of whole grains
mm-hmm.
in America today. There's a lot of whole grain options out there. And so right. you may find the exact same product, which may even at this point have the exact same feel to it, the exact same look to it, and you may not even notice the difference. But that change may make a huge difference for heart health. And so that's kind of where I look to, just in general, how can we make some different decisions and how does that affect our life? You know, whole grain, I think, is one of those issues that we should be looking into more and more.
That's great. And I think it also points out that, you know, to have this study on men, I mean, women, not just men, you know, we're really seeing that, you know, there are some differences and things we need to pay attention to, but we're all really accountable, you know, for what we're actually eating. And there's some key things you can do to improve your health. But so we want to move on to the main topic today. And what we have been talking about up until now is sort of, you know, what are the trade-offs of food processing, making it cheaper, faster, more convenient? And I guess as part of that discussion, we've highlighted that if you're not making a decision about what you're eating, a decision is being made for you. So we really need to become more, I don't really like this term proactive, but I think that's the best word for it. And I think what we're meaning is making conscious decisions, you know, to like you said, even in the cereal aisle, you can make a choice between two things.
Right.
And it's not quite right. So, I guess what we want to do is start to delve more into that taking action can be simple. There doesn't have to be this perfect turnkey solution that sort of does it all. There's no Swiss Army knife
right.
for health. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in doing that. And Joe, I think what you want to highlight for us today in two specific ways is, you know, how do we take the simple steps and start to really think about our own food decisions? And then, you know, I guess what's a fun way that we can really approach this? And when we've mapped this out a little bit, so tell us more about that.
Yeah, and this kind of came out of, we actually, even the last podcast, just in doing it,
yeah.
we realized that maybe we can create a tool that can do it. So we've kind of spent some time, I think, laying some foundational stuff that helps us to at least, you know, kind of take a step back away from our decision-making process and saying, what influences that?
Right.
Why do I even have to start thinking about this? But if we're in the day-to-day, we don't really think about why am I making this decision or what really influenced me at the beginning. So
mm-hmm.
first podcast, we talk about, you know, approaches to diseases and, you know, different approaches to the modern diet and some of the things that have changed just within the last 100 years. So if
right.
we think about how long we've been around, the last 100 years has really been a big change in the foods we eat and how we eat them. And so, you know, from that point now we have some foundation. What can we do? Because like we're saying, you know, it really is coming down to making a more active choice where maybe, you know, 200 years ago, it wasn't as active of a choice. You just, you know, your mother made you or a grandma or, you know.
Where you spent time gathering the food. You know, you're outside.
Yeah, you were eating whole foods all the time.
That's not life anymore. So.
Yeah. And so, you know, how can we do this now? Now we're entrenched in some ways into some decision-making process that are healthy and some that are not. And how can we bring awareness? How can we make a, you know, almost a step-by-step move away from some of those less healthy decisions?
But you know what, Joe? At the end of the day, it's kind of like, yeah, all this information is great, but what do I do about it? And I just kind of get overwhelmed with information, and I'm not sure the first step to take sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, making permanent positive changes, it's daunting. It's a daunting task.
Permanent is a scary word. Change is a scary word.
Yeah, so we try to read a book. You know, we try to do these things, and we get excited, we make some change, and then at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily always stick. So we've been thinking about around here, like, okay, is it possible to make a more of a step-by-step kind of a process that says, there's no way I'm going to make 100 changes today. There's just no way.
Well, and then make them all stick. You said before the word permanent, and you said the word change, but I think we do need to do that, but what we're talking is how can we do consistent to get to permanent, and how can we take a single step to get to change. In other words, let's just pretend we could ignore all of that. Like, we could ignore, yeah, we're getting to permanent, we sort of ignore the end,
right?
We know where we want to go, but let's just not worry about that right now. We just started the race don't think about the finish line just yet. We got to think about taking the first steps, because, you know, what's the cliche that a journey of 1,000 steps begins with one, right?
Right.
So I guess it's sort of like jokingly said, well, what if we just prove to everybody that it can be done to take a first step, make consistent changes, and end up with permanent.
And I think like this, we kind of brought two ideas together, knowing that, you know, the 50 or 100 changes at one time doesn't really work for people. And there needs to be something that's practical and tangible. Like, right. What can I grab onto here? And so we've kind of come up with this weekly health challenge. It's a really not a fantastic name at this point. We hope you can help us out and leave some comments on this podcast.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that at the
give
end.
Give us some
little,
ideas.
Little contest.
You know, it really is kind of a step-by-step, you know, in we're not really going to even start this challenge with do this.
Right.
It's not even be like, okay, now go out and do this really exciting, healthy
thing.
Well,
I have to say one more thing too, Joe. Yeah. So we're not actually going to take action. And if we do actually ask you to take action, it's usually about dietary changes and things. And so I just have to make one disclaimer, which is none of this is medical advice. You should consult your doctor. We're doing this for fun and entertainment. But hopefully you will learn something at the same time. So that's my little, you know, legalese there. Okay, right. Go ahead.
So we'll help fill in some of the gaps of, you know, why we shouldn't take that action. But we're really going to start with, okay, this is what we're doing. Let's just become aware of it. And so when you're starting this challenge, if you do join us on this crazy little journey we're going to take, you maybe become a little bit annoying to the people around you, and because you're going to be aware of things that, you know, they don't want to be necessarily taking a look at. But the truth is that these kind of issues, and we talk about, we'll focus a lot about heart disease and those type of things, mm-hmm. They're going to affect more than half of the people that you run into on a daily
right.
basis. And so maybe they'll be able to glean a little bit of insight into how to live a little bit of a healthier life by watching you doing something a little bit goofier.
We're practicing what we preach here. In other words, you know, we don't want to become annoying to you. We want you to learn something. So we're willing to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to go along this journey too on these challenges, do it for yourself. And when people start seeing changes, I mean, you know, actions speak louder than words. They'll follow along.
Right.
So
yeah, and we're going to, yeah, like you're saying, we're going to be involved in this too. We're going to actually do this. I don't know. I think as we go here, awareness is not going to be as tough. I think we can do that. It might be hard to admit to people over the microphone here to say, hey, this is what we did, and I can't believe I ate this much of this. But, you know, that's going to be the easier part. I think, though, at some point, this is going to become challenging to us, and we're going to have some hard times.
Yeah.
But I think part of what we want to show here, too, is that when you make change, it's not about being 100% perfect when you make the change. It's about going through the process and moving in that direction and becoming aware and then making change just continuing to whittle away at it.
Again,
because
you have to just do one thing at a time. And we do kind of cycle back and forth. You know, you might be off your exercise schedule, or maybe you were traveling on vacation, and that's going to happen. But the point is not to do that perfectly every time.
Right.
So I'm excited about positive change, but I'm a little nervous about the first one you're going to make me. You know, I'm going to start living at the gym and, you know, eating no carbs or something crazy, but that's not what you're going to ask.
No, we're once again awareness, and this is just kind of the beginning of it. So the first challenge here is we're going to become aware of refined flour in the diet, and refined flour is going to take on a lot of different forms. If you're reading the back of an ingredient label, it will come as wheat flour, white flour, mm-hmm. and rich flour. There's a number of different ways we actually say it on packages. We know it as white flour,
right?
But that's not the only way it's said. And the best way, especially for something like wheat, you want to see the word whole. If you don't see the word whole on the ingredient list, it's probably refined. It's more
so
likely
this
refined.
Does get a little confusing because it can say multigrain but still be refined.
It has to be whole grain. So what we're going to do in this challenge as well is we're going to be aware of refined flour in the diet. That will mean even the refined flour that follows whole wheat. So you may have whole wheat as the first ingredient even. And then if refined grains follow, we just once again, this is not to become neurotic, but this is really to become aware of how many times do I eat this one
so
food.
So what you and I are going to do this week is look at what we eat each meal and see whether food that contains refined flour, which is not the healthiest thing for us, if it was present or not. And so we'll post a list of you know, some of the things you could look for, some of the food types,
right.
You know, noodles, pancakes, muffins, whatever. But so that's what we're going to kind of do. And I guess, is there anything else we should know before we start this challenge?
Well, I mean, just the reason why we're starting here is because this one ingredient, the refined flour, and generally refined wheat is the ingredient. The main reason why I'm starting here is because that makes up a large portion, I think a larger than most people realize, for their diet. And we've modified the wheat. We've taken out some very beneficial components, one of which we talked about today was fiber. Another one's magnesium. We've taken out some of the B vitamins, like folate and the different B vitamins that are important for the energy process, for the heart to make energy. And so we've removed some of those. And some of those we've put back in synthetic forms, which, you know, in my opinion, are not going to be as well absorbed and well utilized. Some of the research shows that food form nutrients, kind of always been our philosophy around here, is really the best way to get things.
But listen to the past podcast, too. If you're just coming, you know, joining us this episode, we've talked a lot about, you know, high sugars, you know, high processing, low nutrient, low variety. We've highlighted all those topics if you go back and really listen. And so, Joe, that's kind of how you're sketching out these challenges is start with the big levers, start with the stuff that can make big differences. But I think what's ironic is some of these biggest levers like fats and empty calories and lack of variety and stuff are the most prevalent too.
Right.
You know, so it's weird that way, but that's kind of where we're starting.
Yeah, and I think this is definitely an issue. The whole grain issue is definitely something to become what we call an early adopter. If you've ever seen like a statistician bell curve,
right,
and they show that this small percentage of people are early adopters, and then the big percentage is usually in the middle there. Most people adopt like later
the average,
on in the process.
Yeah.
And then there's a smaller number that adopt really late in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good issue to become a really early adopter on. You know, the government's kind of backing this up now, the whole grain idea. The idea is getting out there. But if we just wait for, you know, the percentages and wait for everybody else to kind of jump on this wagon, we're going to come in a little late. You know, this is the time that we want to take and say, okay, this is the right choice to make. Whole grain's the way to go. We know that from the research. We've seen that across the board. You know, can I start making that change now and start becoming part of that process now? And I think, you know, even for those that eat like a healthier lifestyle diet,
mm-hmm.
Like would maybe call themselves health food people, I think they're going to be surprised at how often they eat refined flours. I'm going to be surprised. I know that I can already think of a few examples where I might run into this week. And so I think this is one of those issues that definitely affects all of us, can be a good challenge. And once again, we're not asking you to change it, just to become aware this week.
That's great, and I really hope that you'll join us on this weekly health challenge. Let me mention, what we'd like to do is hold a contest on the website on oathealth.com/blog. If you go there, you'll find the podcast. There's a link for it, or just oathealth.com/blog/podcast. What I'd like for you to do is on episode number 5 to actually go to the comments. I'm sorry, episode number 6. We've done a number of them. Getting confused, but episode number 6, go to the comments at the very bottom of the page and offer up what you think the best name for this challenge should be. Remember, what we're trying to highlight here is one step at a time. Don't worry about the end goal or perfection, or what we're trying to do is balance over time and add new things and learn. So if you have an idea besides just the weekly health challenge, we'd love to hear from you. And maybe by next week we'll come up with a prize of some kind that we can offer up. Not sure what it'll be. But submit your ideas, and we hope to hear from you. We probably haven't answered all the questions you have today about heart health or just health in general. But the idea of this podcast is to get you to start to ask the right questions. Want you to adopt a proactive mindset, really start making decisions. So this week, hopefully you've made it a little bit easier and had some suggestions about how to take single steps. And we're going to take them with you. So next week, we'll actually confess how we did on the weekly challenge. What kind of foods we ate that we were surprised about refined flour, and how often it came up. So that's our show for today. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you.
Join us again for our next episode on the Oat Health Heart Health Podcast. Remember, all the resources available at oathealth.com/blog/podcast.